Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Yeah, recruiting is so accelerated and is becoming such a priority, and it's certainly the lifeblood of your organization and your program. It's got to be at the forefront of everything you do, and we signed a few guys from right here in our own city, more guys from the own area code of around here, and then as you push out farther of a four-hour radius of campus, the bulk of our class is from that, the Rocket Nation of the four-hour time it would take you to get in the car and get to where you need to go. And when you have that, you certainly have some great areas you're able to recruit in. You're talking about cities of Detroit, Chicago, Pittsburgh, down to Cincinnati and into some, Cleveland and, some very good places to go, cultivate relationships and find some talent. Once we, have scoured that and we've looked and made sure we've, didn't miss anybody in those areas, we certainly will get on an airplane and go. We signed some guys out of Alabama, a couple very good players from there, and a couple guys from Florida, which we have done in the past.
Good start to the 2017 season. You got to sometimes step back and take a look at the trends. You look at some of the success that we will have at BG over the last three to 4 years or what have you. I think there were 2-3-2 during that time. And again, BG went on that run. If you look at the classes that we've put in the past 3 years, there's 8-8 and 10, I believe, or what have you. It's not an end-all, be-all. I say it's a pretty good sign when you can train and start to stack some of these top tier classes together. In time, you need to replenish your roster. I think we played last year with 74 scholarship kids. Those are the things that you don't want to do because, that's how you end up having a 4-8 year. What we needed to do is not so much look at the 2017 class. We needed to be sure we paid special attention to where our numbers and where we're going to be in 18 and 19. With that being said, you can see that we went heavy offensive line and defensive line.
What I've been doing is calling and texting parents and the youngsters that are committing to Michigan and trying to be part of the day, trying to be part of the joy and excitement. There'll still be a few surprises, but it's a great day, exciting day. These youngsters have worked very hard. Parents have sacrificed a lot. I mean, you want to have a big celebration. I think it should be a celebration for athletes, but any youngster that's going to college, I mean, that should be it. There should be a day, they should have a steak. They should have a big glass of milk. It should be high fives and hugs.
Like the uneventful days, there's still one or two out there that we're waiting on. We're pretty much secured our class. It's very unusual to have half your class here already, so we're so excited. And so all morning, instead of checking fax machines, I was out there talking to guys like Baron Browning, Jeff Okuda, all those guys. So they're already here, which is great. I'd love for our fans someday to see our war room where it's simply you're filling slots. And so you don't go out there and say, well, we need to get good. You need to get great players at every position. Who would have thought a year ago that we're going to have to replace Malik Hooker and Marshawn Lattimore? No chance. They haven't played yet. But that happens here. It happened the year before with guys like Jalen Marshall to Darren Lee. Who would have thought that they'd play 1 or 2 years? But that's just they're very quality players, and they got developed, and they moved on. So it's a flywheel. It's constantly going, and you got to make sure you keep reloading and getting guys in those slots.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
And a great afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, where we are and we remain Toledo's sports leader. 12 minutes after 3 o'clock on National Signing Day. It's our special. That's a combination of special, national, special. Our special National Signing Day event here this afternoon, in which we have got reports from all over the college football landscape, at least the landscape that is closest to home for you and all of us, including the Toledo Rockets, the Bowling Green Falcons. And you just heard in the top of the hour montage from head coach Jason Candle, as well as Coach Jinx. You also heard from University of Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh, as well as Coach Meyer from Ohio State. So we've got you pretty much covered always from Sunday here on National Signing Day, Wednesday, the first day of February. This is all driven by Sauter's Food Centers in Sylvania and Waterville, and, of course, your friends here at Toledo Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. We're going to hear from, more personally, each and every one of those individuals. Coach Jason Candle coming up a little bit later this hour. Coach Mike Jinx right after him as we give you your MAC fix on recruiting day, or signing day, I should say. Then coming up at about 4:05, top of the hour, Anthony Lind, who does the recruiting reporting for the Buckeye fan site 11warriors.com, which is outstanding, by the way, on the Buckeyes, widely regarded number two recruiting class in the country. Then, of course, we'll go back north of the state line to Anthony Broom, who covers the Wolverines for Maize and Brew, another outstanding fan site with SB Nation about the Wolverines recruiting class. And as we get started this afternoon, say good afternoon to Jim Cushlin as well. How you doing, Cush?
Not too bad. How's it going?
I'm looking at the national rankings where they are right now as of 3 o'clock, and this is so interesting how fluid this is. You know, as letters of intent come in and signings are made official, how it it maneuvers the rankings. It's almost a little bit like election night. You know what I mean? Because I'm looking at the top 10 class as of 3 o'clock, according to ESPN, the top 10 classes. And it says right now the update is Ole Miss moved up a few spots to number 36 in the latest update. So, I mean, obviously they go beyond the top 10. I'm just looking at the top 10 right now. But they update it with what has happened hour by hour, okay? So, like, right now the top 10 shows, as of 3 o'clock, commits that they know they've received letters of intent from. It's Alabama, number 1. Nick Saban just continues to get richer. Oh, number 2, Ohio State, Urban Meyer continues to get richer. Number 3, Georgia, a little bit surprising in the top 4. Number 4, Jim Harbaugh, paying dividends at Michigan. Then LSU, Florida State, USC, Oklahoma, Clemson, the defending champions, and Auburn. And it's a little bit like election night, isn't it? I don't know how much you watch politics or elections, Jim, but like on November 8th, it was like, at 9 o'clock, you know, Michigan just came in. Well, I know it wasn't Michigan. At 9 o'clock, just to pick a state, Idaho just came in for Donald Trump. Delaware just came in for Hillary Clinton. So now here's the updated electoral votes, right? That's what this feels like. Oh, well, a 5-star receiver from Perrysburg just signed with Wisconsin. So the Badgers move up from 29th in the current class to 24th. It's just kind of like that. And it is amazing to me how much we pay attention to these things. And it's amazing to me how much stock we put into the hands of 18-year-old kids. You know what I mean? 18-year-old kids. Jim Cushlin, did you ever see the movie Blue Chips?
Yes. I haven't seen it in a while, but I've seen it.
Anybody who's in sports has to have seen
at least
Blue
once,
Chips.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Blue Chips, for those who don't know, was a movie that came out in the mid-90s, I want to say. Maybe late 90s, but I'm going to say mid-90s. I don't know exactly what year. It featured Nick Nolte playing a Bobby Knight style coach, you know, real aggressive, loud, swearing, you know, that kind of a guy. And he was a 2-time national championship coach, but he needed to get better because he had a couple losing years in a row. And he was finally tempted to creep over into the other side of illegal recruiting. And he recruited illegal people like Shaquille O'Neal, not playing, you know, these were the actors. They were playing different characters' names. Shaquille O'Neal was Neon Bordeaux, and Anthony Penny Hardaway was one of them. Who played Ricky Rowe? Matt Nover from Indiana. Bobby Hurley was in it. You know, Calbert Chaney was in it. These kinds of guys. Anyway, there's a line at the very end of the movie after the coach, played by Nick Nolte, has his, you know, the regrets and the guilt just eating away at him. It reminded me of Edgar Allan Poe's The Telltale Heart. It's like he could just hear the money changer, cha-ching, cha-ching, as he played in the season opener with his new team of bought players. You know, it's like, here I am trying to quote. When's the last time you turned on a sports radio show and heard somebody quoting Edgar Allan Poe and a poem? This is the this is the English teacher in me from 25 years ago or whatever it was. Sorry. In the poem, or in the short story, I should say, The Telltale Heart, the killer heard the beating of the heart of the victim and went crazy. And in the movie, it was like the cha-ching, cha-ching of the cash machine, if you will, or the register, that was eating away at Nick Nolte at the very end of the movie, okay? And at the end of the movie, he's giving his confession to the media about what he did and how he cheated. He tells a little story. He said, right now, and I'm paraphrasing this because I didn't plan this. This is all off the cuff. This isn't part of my show prep. It just kind of occurred to me. You know, Jim, especially as you watch some of these young athletes with their histrionics and their drama queen stuff as far as how they pick their hat off the table. One kid started peeling off shirt after shirt after shirt of all the teams he wasn't going to pick until he was left with one shirt on his skin, which happened to be USC, which is where he was going. All this dramatic stuff reminded me of this story. Do you know where I'm going with this, Jim? Do you remember the end of it?
Vaguely. It's been a while.
You don't. That's okay. I don't know why I do, because I'm an idiot, and I have no life, and I have way too much useless information in my brain, which could be taken up by more important information if I applied myself. But I don't. I have movie lines in my brain. All right. So at the end of it, he's telling this story as he confesses to the media, the coach, played by Nick Nolte. He said, right now there's a 10-year-old kid somewhere in America. And he's out on the playground, and he's going between his legs, and he's already playing above the rim, and he's up there, and he's stuffing it home. He said in 5 minutes from now, he's going to be surrounded by agents and recruiters and publicists and all kinds of people. And he's going to be surrounded by coaches. He's going to be surrounded by coaches, because the coaches know this 10-year-old kid holds their own future employment in his hands. And that's how it starts. Now, I'm paraphrasing those lines, but that's what he said, and he's right. Those 10-year-old kids hold the coach's future, their employment, their ability to earn money in their hands. As the coaches fight and scratch and claw to convince that 10-year-old kid that the moment he turns 18, or at least the moment he's allowed to graduate and sign, that he comes to play for them so that their employment is secure. And that's what leads to coaches and, you know, boosters and you know, other, you know, nefarious people involving, you know, alumni and so on and so forth. It leads to the cheating, because these kids hold their future in the coach's future in their hands. And that line always stuck with me for some reason, because every year around this time, around signing day, I'm reminded of that. And did you see the kid I'm talking about today peeling off his shirts? He had on like 3 T-shirts. He was down to the final.
I did catch that one, yeah.
Yeah, he was down to the final 3 that he had kind of announced that he was considering. It's Levi Jones. That's who it was. Levi Jones. And so what he did was he had a zip up black hoodie on, and he was going to unzip it and reveal the team that he was going to play for, the school that he was going to go to, right? So he unzips the hoodie, and to the thrill and exhilaration of Gator fans everywhere, it revealed a Florida T-shirt that said Gators, a blue shirt that said Gators in orange across the front. Yeah, we got this guy. Super. But then, no, he pulled that T-shirt off to reveal the Florida State shirt underneath it. Oh, he just psyched out Florida. He just punked them. Oh, my God, he trolled the Gator Nation. Now he's going to be a null. He's a Seminole, right? No, because pause 2 seconds more and he rips off the Seminoles shirt to reveal the USC shirt underneath. Oh, my God, now he's going to be a Trojan. And at that point, you have to wonder, do you got any more shirts under that?
That's about what I was starting to wonder that, too.
Yeah, or is this the one? And he answers that question by reaching into a bag and pulling out a USC hat to go with his shirt. So he's got the matching hat to go with his shirt. So he punked or trolled Florida. He trolled Florida State and said, USC, you get my final rose. Yes, I just made a Bachelor reference, and I will smack myself. Hold on a second. I had to slap myself because I will never do that again. I apologize. I will read you poetry from Poe again before I tell you anything about The Bachelor, because I know nothing about The Bachelor. But there's the final rose. I do know that much, that it was to USC. And so I'm thinking, you know, by the way, this is the 65th best player in ESPN's top 300, in the ESPN 300, okay? So it's not like he was the number one player in the draft. But these guys, we treat them so, I don't want to say spoiled, it's overused. But this is where we get their sense of entitlement and their sense of drama and their sense I guess we spoil them to the point where they think like, you know, their S doesn't stink because TV stations from one end of the country to the other, all of the national shows are all over watching him peel off his shirt one by one and watching his ego just get blown up like a balloon, like, yeah, you know, as everybody, like, who's he going? Oh my God, he's changing his shirts again. Oh my God, he peeled off another one. What's going to happen next? And then he puts on the hat. The balloon explodes. Now he's USC's. And his ego just exploded all over the place because he's been told he's that damned important. And he holds these coaches. Did you see what Jim Harbaugh did, Jim? Jim Harbaugh, upon getting the commitment he wanted from a five-star wide receiver, made good on a promise to jump into a swimming pool fully clothed to celebrate this signing. Did you see that one? I mean, that's how crazy these kids can make grown men.
Yeah. It's adults. Not that hard for Harbaugh, of course, as we know.
Well, that's true. I mean, he's a bit of a different cat. And by the way, his recruits loved it.
Of course they did.
They loved it. And you know what else? So did next year's recruits. They're going to look and say, that dude is awesome. That dude is hilarious. That dude is funny. But here's the thing. What can I get him to do? He jumped into a pool for that five-star receiver. Wait till he gets me next year. He's already been calling me nonstop in my junior year. Wait till he gets a chance to sign me next year. And if I give him a commitment on signing day, what's he going to do then?
Bungee jumping.
Will he bungee jump for me? There you go. Will he bungee jump for me? Will he walk 10 yards across broken glass for me? Will he do the hot coals for me? Will he do a beer bong filled with milk for me? Harbaugh's a notorious milk drinker, by the way. I mean, that's the goofy thing. They make these coaches just, you know, do cartwheels and cheerleading routines and all kinds of other goofy things just to get them because we wrap the world around them. And it's really, really an amazing thing to see. So anyway, but here's the other part of it. We are into it. This is why it works. We're talking about it. People on sports radio all across this country are talking about it right now, and they're talking about what at Alabama. I wonder if Nick Saban had to do anything nutty to get his five-star recruit. But Nick Saban's got the number one class. Urban Meyer's got the number two class. It's interesting. The top 10 in the recruiting, at least as of 3 o'clock, looks very similar to the top 10 in the final rankings in 2016. It's not a coincidence. Success breeds success. Game recognizes game. We know that. Alabama, Ohio State, and Michigan, three of the top four in recruiting, were three of the top five at the end of the college football playoff rankings before the bowl season. Who else? LSU, I don't know if they were top 10. Florida State was, USC was, Oklahoma was, Clemson was. They ended up winning it, of course. Auburn was just outside of it. But at least eight of the top 10 in recruiting right now were in the top 10, I believe, at the end of the regular season last year. Success breeds success. When you're a winning program, the stars want to come to you. And then, of course, the more stars you get to come to you, the more you become a winning program. It is a very, very simple and symbiotic relationship, but it is awfully hard to come by. All right, here's what we're going to do. Special signing day conversations with coaches begin. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we're going to take a timeout here at the bottom of the hour. But what I will do before the bottom of the hour timeout is I do want to give you the opportunity to win our final pair of tickets to see Toledo's own Robert Easter defend his IBF lightweight boxing championship against Luis Cruz at the Huntington Center coming up in 9 days. It's February 10th. We've been giving those away for the last week and a half or so. I've got one pair left, and I will give it to you if you are the eighth caller right now. And I did this before because I pick Easter in eight. 866-240-1065. Be caller 866-240-1065. Then on the other side, we're going to hear from head coach Jason Candle, whose University of Toledo Rockets have signed what is widely regarded as the very best recruiting class in the Mid-American Conference by a number of different services. Who are they? What does that mean? Coach Candle will talk to Cush coming up here in just a couple of minutes. After that, we go down I-75 to the other part of the rivalry, and we will talk to head coach Mike Jinks at Bowling Green about his Falcons class here in 2017. All that's going to take us into the 4 o'clock hour when we talk with reporters from Ohio State and Michigan about the Buckeyes and Wolverines classes respectively as well. So we have got you laid out here. It is our special signing day coverage right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, brought to you by Sauter's Food Centers in Sylvania and Waterville, and of course your friends right here at Toledo Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Now back to the Bob France Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Continuing our signing day coverage here on the Extravaganza special signing day show, as we're kind of covering all the bases for the various recruiting classes for all our favorite college football teams all across the area. Talking to some very interesting people. One of them is on with us right now. He is the head coach of the Toledo Rockets. Jason Candle joins us to discuss the Toledo Rockets recruiting class. Hi again, coach. How you doing?
Doing great. Great to be on with you, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, and obviously this is one of those days. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance in terms of what some of the recruits do, but what I'm more interested in right off the bat is, as we know, you know, you just finished your first full season this past year as head coach of the Rockets, which more importantly meant you were on a normal recruiting schedule, unlike last year where you had to throw a lot of things together after taking the top spot, and I know that could sometimes probably be a pain in that transition. So first, from your point of view, recruiting this year, now that you had the full year and the full schedule under your belt, what was the difference between this past year's recruiting and the one before?
Well, you certainly give yourself, you know, an extensive, like you said, the entire duration of the length of time that you're able to, you know, be with these young men and, you know, get into their homes and meet their families and kind of see what their life is like, you know, on the, you know, through communication other than just, you know, a phone call or a text message or, you know, correspondence through social media. So you really get to know the, you know, the human being that you're going to bring into your football program, and you really get to know the families, and you really get to be a, you know, when you really truly get to sign off on their character, which I think is huge and important part of this whole deal.
And does it allow you, obviously, the extra time in this case to make sure you dot all the T's, cross all the I's, get all the good meetings you want? In other words, it must feel good to at least not, in some ways, having to throw it together at almost the last minute the way it was last year.
Yeah, recruiting is so accelerated and it's becoming such a, you know, priority, and it's certainly the lifeblood of your organization and your program. So it's got to be at the forefront of everything you do. And, you know, I think there was a 2-week period in June, I think, where we received 9 verbal commitments or 10 verbal commitments from young people. So I think when you have that happen that early, now it becomes almost a situation where you got to, you know, maintain that relationship and continue to foster it and grow with it until, you know, obviously today, like today, where the ink actually dries on the paper. So, but you really also, the advantage of that is you also really get to know these young people and really get to invest in their families and see what exactly how they're going to fit to your program, not just from just a, you know, an athletic standpoint or what a videotape may be able to show or a highlight tape may be able to show, really just kind of what they can bring to you, you know, from the whole ball of wax, so to speak.
We're talking with head coach Jason Candle of the Toledo Rockets, getting an update on the Rockets recruiting classes. This is, of course, National Signing Day, and we, of course, here on the Extravaganza devoted our entire show today to give you the updates on some of those teams in the area. Let's talk about some of those individuals in this class, and as of right now, on the surface, I'm reading some very interesting and very good things. For what it's worth, Scout.com, 24/7 Sports, they rank the Rockets as the top class for this recruiting year in the Mid-American Conference. Rivals.com has you second behind those arch rivals from down I-75, Bowling Green. So talk about some of the highlight players that we should know about that'll be donning the midnight blue and gold.
Well, I think I said this last year at this time, and I certainly believe it. I don't believe those rankings are the end-all, be-all of what you how you judge yourself or how you judge your class. But the people that work at those scouting services work very hard at what they do, and, you know, they don't, if somebody stands out at a camp or a particular combine that they're attending, they usually don't rank them very high if they're they're poor players. So, and if you're going to be judged on, you know, having the number one ranking or not having the number one ranking, we certainly would like to be number one. So, we don't put a lot of stock into it, but we certainly know the importance of, you know, what it is to compete, and very proud that we looks like we'll finish number one in all three services, I believe, and you know, certainly a great accomplishment for our staff and a lot of hard work for, you know, the time and effort that they've put into making this a great class. But, yeah, like you said, a lot of individual, you know, great individuals in this class. But I think what I would highlight for me is that this is a very complete class. It's, you know, one that you signed some, you know, particular players at each and every position, which sometimes you don't always do. So very pleased with where we're at and very pleased with what it looks like moving forward for sure.
Yeah, and in terms of some of those individuals, it's not just Ohio in this case. I'm liking some of the spread around, according to what I'm reading, 11 recruits from Ohio, which is an obvious part. You're going to recruit within state, but you guys have been getting out there and doing some more. What I really like, 7 different commits from the very football-strong state of Florida, and you went into the Crimson Tide territory. I got some guys from Alabama as well, so you're spreading it out a little more. That's always a good thing to see for a program in the Mid-American Conference.
Well, we want to make home base. You know, we signed a few guys from right here in our own city. You know, some more guys, you know, from the own area code of around here. And then as you push out farther of a 4-hour radius of campus, the bulk of our class is from that, the Rocket Nation of the 4-hour, you know, time it would take you to get in the car and get to where you need to go. So, and when you have that, you certainly have some great areas you're able to recruit in. You're talking about cities of Detroit, Chicago, Pittsburgh, you know, down to Cincinnati and into some, you know, Cleveland and, you know, some very good places to go, you know, cultivate relationships and find some talent. So but once we, you know, have scoured that and we've looked and, you know, made sure we've, you know, didn't miss anybody in those areas, we certainly will get on an airplane and go. You know, we signed some guys out of Alabama, a couple very good players from there. You know, and a couple guys from Florida, which we have done in the past. We didn't go wholesale in Florida, just a couple. But, you know, we've, been able to get our brand out a little bit the last 3 years and playing 3 bowl games. The last 3 bowl games have been played down south. So, you know, we spread the Rocket brand a little bit, and I think it certainly paid off for us today.
And talk to me a little bit about that, because obviously it's a much more important thing for a program at the Mid-American Conference level, and maybe some fans out there will kind of scoff at the idea, but I know you and your staff certainly don't, and that's the bowl game thing you mentioned, going to play down south, getting a lot closer to where some of these recruits are that you may want to be talking to, and in this case, in some cases, did. So talk to me a little bit about that, because for a program at the Mid-American Conference level, I feel that's a very important thing to do that sometimes gets overlooked by the fans.
Yeah, it's a fine line. You know, I think every fan would love a schedule that would put Toledo at home on Saturday afternoon at 12 o'clock, and very consistent with it. And but we play at different times. We play at different times because TV asks us to, and certainly we want to put our brand out there and make Toledo a national brand. And certainly, would I like the consistency of that schedule being the way it is? Sure, I would. But I also like recruiting a lot better, because the better players you have, the better football team you're going to have, and that's not negotiable. That's total fact and proven. So we have to be able to go get, you know, our product in front of really good players in a lot of different areas. And like I said, the last 3 years being in Mobile and then down in Boca, and then certainly this past one in Montgomery, we were able to do that, you know, and be in front of some different areas that we normally wouldn't be able to get to.
We're talking with head coach Jason Candle of the Toledo Rockets, National Signing Day, and we've devoted, of course, the extravaganza to covering that. We're talking about the Toledo Rockets recruiting class, which, depending on some of the those recruiting rankings you see out there, number one or number two for all the Mid-American Conference. Let's cycle it back into not just the Ohio commits, but some of them right here in the backyard of Toledo. 4 standouts from various high schools here in the area that are signing on with you guys at the Rockets. Mitch Berg, offensive lineman, and defensive back Tyson Anderson, both from St. John's. Bowser receiver Bryce Mitchell, and defensive end from start Janiel Douglas. Talk to me about some of those guys.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, we had relationships with those young men for a long time. You know, they've been over to our place and watched us practice and watched numerous games, and you know, all of those young men that you mentioned will benefit, you know, a great deal from being locally and being, you know, and being close as we move forward and we turn towards, as they put the chapter, if they close the chapter on their high school careers and their respective sports leading out through the spring here, whether that be basketball or spring sport and track or baseball, you know, they're able to be around and come over and, you know, watch practice very easy as we come throughout through spring practice, where being far away, you know, sometimes that's not, you know, that's not the easiest commute for some guys. So they should be able to be around and be to be able to hear terminology being thrown around in different terms at practice, and most importantly, just to see how we go about our daily routine. And I think that, you know, that smooths the transition a little bit. That makes things a little bit easier when you get here in the summer and you start to, you know, mesh and blend in with the team and trying to get comfortable, because, you know, the end of this thing is, no matter if you're a five-star recruit or you're nobody's ever heard of you, the faster we can get you out of the evaluation phase of you coming out of your, you know, your comfort zone at home and being in someplace new, the better off we're going to be. So we need to try to accelerate that as much as we can with these young guys. And if you're from here in town, that should be an easier process for sure.
Absolutely, Coach Jason Candle, the Toledo Rockets, joining us here on the Extravaganza for our National Signing Day special. Here's one that I really like, and it shows to me that you guys have certain positions and certain things. Even though you would mention that this is a nice overall class for all positions, but I like this one, and it's recent, which shows you that sometimes how this process works. Sometimes guys sign on earlier, sometimes guys sign on a little bit later. Got a recent commit from a running back from down there in Alabama, Nicholas Sims. For what it's worth, Coach, 24/7 Sports has him listed as the top recruit in part of this class, and that to me is important because, of course, Kareem Hunt slated to graduate, so I love cycling in big-time guys like that to replace what technically is sort of a position of need with Kareem Hunt moving on.
Certainly. I mean, you know, it came down to the last week or so there, and Nick was trying to decide what he's going to do. And, you know, ironically, we had, you know, our star tailback playing in the premier all-star game in college football, the Senior Bowl, right down the street from where Nick goes to high school. So, you know, that was a very easy conversation. Hey, you want to see what we're going to do with you or how we use our guy? Walk down the street and watch practice. You know, kind of ironic in the geographic location of how that game is played, that's how it matched up. But, yeah, Nick's going to be a great player, I think. Certainly a guy who's got legit 100-meter speed and yet is over 200 pounds right now as a high school senior. So not somebody that you have to come in and put a bunch of weight on. And, you know, when you're talking about at that position, you're looking at size and you're looking at explosiveness, and he certainly has both of those already. So I would expect big things for him as we wind down here to get him on campus and what his future looks like, for sure.
Last guy I'm going to highlight and have you comment on, Coach, another researcher. In fact, you just got a commitment from him over this past weekend, and that must have been an interesting visit. That down in Florida, the very famed power of St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale picked up lineman Kadonis Haslam, and if that last name out there to folks sounds familiar, he is in fact the son of longtime Miami Heat player Udonis Haslam. So talk to me about him and how different sometimes it is if you're going, even in this case it's the NBA, not necessarily the NFL, but you're going to recruit somebody whose parents, for example, are involved in professional sports. Is there sometimes a difference in that?
Well, they know the routine. They know what it's like to be recruited. They know what it's like to go through a recruiting process, and I think there's a certain advantage to that, you know. And I believe that, you know, in recruiting, the hard part for young 17 or 18 year old people is to really decipher what's fluff and what things don't really matter and what's really real, you know. And sometimes kids, they don't smell it when they're standing in it, if you know what I mean. So, but a guy like that, a guy who's got a father who's went through it, you know, he's got a long professional career. You know, certainly Kadonis has played at a very premier high school football program, one of the best top three or four in the entire country, coached by really good people who, you know, give their heart and soul to that place down there. And certainly Kadonis has a bright future here, and the Rockets are certainly, you know, lucky to have him.
Absolutely. It's going to be a very interesting class as the Rockets look to build on their 9-win and bowl season from a year ago with, according to some of the rankings, one of the top recruiting classes in all the Mid-American Conference. Coach Candle, thanks so much for the time and for the update on how you guys did recruiting-wise. I know the spring game's coming up in a couple of months, and then it's on to the business of football coming up in the fall. We thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me. Go Rockets.
That is head coach of the Toledo Rockets, Jason Candle, joining us here on the Extravaganza, part of our signing day special. And yeah, depending on which rankings you're reading, Rivals.com has the Rockets second in the Mid-American Conference to Bowling Green's class. That's always fun, by the way. And the other couple of rankings have them as the best recruiting class in the Mid-American Conference. All right, quick timeout here on this edition, signing day edition of the Extravaganza. Quick timeout, and then we're going to head down south on I-75 to the Bowling Green Falcons and Mike Jinks and their recruiting class. That's next here on the Extravaganza special signing day show here on The Ticket.
106.5 The Ticket.
And we're continuing our National Signing Day coverage here on the Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Jim Cushlin here, cycling through all the teams essentially here in the region, all the ones you guys care about the most, that is. And now we're shifting our attention to the Bowling Green Falcons and their recruiting class, which, depending on which one of those boards you read, they're thought highly in terms of some out there. Rivals.com, for example, right now lists the Bowling Green Falcons as the best among Mid-American Conference schools. 24/7 Sports has BG second. Scout.com has the Falcons third. And I know those aren't the end-all be-all as far as the coaches are concerned, but it's nice to know that nationally, thinking highly of the Bowling Green Falcons recruiting class. And to help us talk a little bit about that class, we welcome in the head coach of the Bowling Green Falcons back on the program with us, head coach Mike Jinks. Hi, coach. How you doing?
Doing well. How you doing, Jim?
Not too shabby, not too shabby. And let's start there on our National Signing Day special. We're talking to the Bowling Green Falcons class. And again, I, as you just heard, I know you guys don't put a ton of stock into it, but it must be nice to know that the various publications who, in theory, follow this kind of stuff think pretty highly of your recruiting class for this season.
No doubt. It's a good start to the 2017 season. You know, we don't put a ton of stock in the stars and things that nature, but you got to You got to sometimes step back and take a look at the trends. You know what I mean? And if you look at some of the success that we will have at BG over the last three to 4 years or what have you, you look back at 11 and 12 and 13, the classes that Klaus put together, they're in the top 2-3. I think they were 2-3-2 during that time. And again, BG went on that run. If you look at the classes that we've put in the past 3 years, there's 8-8 and 10, I believe, or whatever. So, and then Western Michigan was 1-1-1. And, you know, we saw what they did and they went on and won the conference for the first time and went on to the Cotton Bowl. So, it's not an end all be all, but, I'd say it's a pretty good sign when you can train and start to stack some of these top tier classes together.
Absolutely, and I know each coaching staff in each school has different goals in mind of what they want to do from a recruiting perspective. And for you guys, that seems to be filling holes and getting depth. Do you feel you accomplished those goals with this class?
We do. Unfortunately at the time we had to play quite a few young kids last year. So we were able to actually establish some depth through those measures. But at the same time, you need to replenish your roster. I think we played last year with 74 scholarship kids. Those are the things that you don't want to do, because, you know, that's how you end up having a 4-8 year. So what we needed to do is not so much look at the 2017 class. We needed to be sure we paid special attention to where our numbers and where we're going to be in 18 and 19. With that being said, you can see that we went heavy offensive line and defensive line. Because over the next couple of years, offensive line particularly, we're going to lose 7 of those guys. So you got to have some guys in your program that you're developing ready to play in those upcoming years and not having to throw a young kid in at the last moment. So, we were able to do that. One of the other things that we wanted to accomplish, we wanted to get longer on the outside on both sides of the ball. And I think we're seeing there's a couple 6'1", 6'2" corners, that we added to the roster. And then, with the receiving core, as a 6'2", there's not a guy short in 6'2", 6'2", 6'3", even a 6'4" guy. You know, we wanted to get bigger there. So happy with what we were able to get done. The coaches did a heck of a job, getting out and pounding the street and finding quality student athletes.
Head coach Mike Jinks of the Bowling Green Falcons joining us here on the Extravaganza. Jim Cushlin here, our National Signing Day special. So we're getting all the lowdown, right now, at least, on the Bowling Green Falcons class. What I find interesting, coach, on this, and we'll get to some of the places, that some of these guys, are from, because obviously you're going to be in Ohio and other places. But what I find interesting is the number of junior college guys, that you're bringing in with this 2017 class. Talk to me about the difference, when you're recruiting somebody at a junior college level versus, say, a high school senior.
Well, they've been through the process, so a lot of the fluff has gone away. And at that point, it becomes kind of a business decision. Thought we did a nice job of, you know, you got to build a thing with high school kids, period. You know, and I think maybe 20 of or 24 have, what have you, coming from the high school ranks. And when you look at the junior college spots, really what you want to do in those instances is those area needs that you know, you might have missed in previous years. You know, we've got a big class that we're bringing offensive linemen, but a couple of those guys needed to be older kids. So, you know, we went that way with that, and we're able to have some success in doing that. But, you know, really, to answer your question, at that point, it's not so much about, you know, what you have to offer outside of giving them the best opportunity to get on football field. Yeah.
Absolutely, and then there. But that's not all. There's obviously, as you mentioned, you got to keep those relationship with the high schoolers. The two interesting guys that you have committed are also enrolled for the spring semester. By the way, at BG, these are more freshman signees, if you will. One quarterback, Jared Doge, and a receiver, Matt Wilcox. Talk to me about those guys, as we know, well, what you guys want to try to do offensively with the football, anyway.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it all starts with the trigger man, and you know, we feel like we got a good one in Dagie. You know, he gets a chance to come out and watch practice a little bit, and he spins it a little bit like his older brother. You know, they throw two of the prettiest balls I've ever seen, except he's a little bigger than Seth. But he was a great get, and now we got his old Texas gunslinger coming up, and you know, we'll throw him in the mix along with the other guys. I feel good about the quarterback position, and then Matt Wilcox is a local kid you know, is the best way I can describe Matt is he is a football player. He played both ways, this past year. You know, a lot of safety, a lot of slot receiver. When you look at Matt and you look at his frame and you go and you watch our kids work out, you know, and off season, this spring, he looks like he belongs. You know, that's a testament to his work ethic and the time that he's put in on his own hour. He's going to play inside. He's going to play the slot for us. And, I think, that Matt's probably one of the guys, and you don't want too many of them, but, Matt's one of the guys that the Falcons fans ought to get to know, and they'll get to know pretty early. He's got a chance to play now.
We're talking with head coach Mike Jinks of the Bowling Green Falcons, getting you the lowdown on the Falcons recruiting class here on this National Signing Day. Jim Cushlin here for the Extravaganza. One place that I always like to, thing that I always like to look at, coach, when I'm looking at recruiting class, especially for teams like Bowling Green at that Mid-American Conference level, to me, it's not so much the stars that the various sites put up there, but where you guys are going. Obviously, you're talking about Wilcox. He's a local guy, for example. So you're going to have, obviously, various Ohio recruits. But what I find interesting is, some of the other guys out there. In this case, some of these junior college guys, you're going to one of them's from California. One of them is went to Eastern Arizona Junior College. So when it comes to outside of the state of Ohio, are you trying to go south, west, both, or what?
Well, really, regionally, we're going to stay regionally. You know what I mean? We're going to stick to our hot holes and, you know, honey holes. And you look at that list and you talk about some of those JUCO guys. What you got to realize is where are they originally from? You know, and I think one of the kids was from Canada, and we've had some success up there. And then the other kid was from Florida, where we also had success. So, you know, we try to keep that into account when we do go and look at some of these JUCO kids. But, you know, first and foremost, you got to take care of home. You know, I mean, it's great football play in the state of Ohio and in our surrounding states. You know, you got to be diligent. You got to win those guys, and then you just kind of, you know, as time goes on, and as you learn different areas, you just kind of you get a group of coaches or that you're able to work with and kind of nudge guys your way. And you know, we've been able to do a pretty good job of that thus far.
We're talking with head coach Mike Jinks of the Bowling Green Falcons. National Signing Day, going over some of the odds and ends of the Bowling Green recruiting class, which, depending on which one of those rankings you like, they're thought very highly, either 1, 2, or 3 in all the Mid-American Conference, depending on which one you're looking at. One last thing, though, before I'll let you go, because I'm always fascinated by the answer to this, because I know how much, especially nowadays, recruiting is really a 24/7, 365. It basically never stops. You've mentioned that to us in past interviews, as have other coaches. But what's interesting to me in this case is this time you had the full calendar. You didn't have to rush anything like it was the previous year. How much of a difference does that for you and what you guys as a staff are trying to accomplish when you don't have to, on some level, throw things together at the last minute?
Well, Jim, it's huge, man. I mean, just look at, we take it for what it is, but that is – and gives you an idea of the job that we're able to do, given sufficient time. And you look back at last year's class, we did all we could in 2 weeks to hold it together and bring some guys in. The fact of the matter is 6 of the guys got committed on that day, and this is even a bigger deal. They haven't even walked on campus. It was huge, and probably the biggest benefit of being as aggressive as we were and getting on it as early as we did was the last recruiting weekend, that third week, we probably had, Jim, 20 guys in trying to fill that class up last year.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And really, it had no relationship with any of them. We'd been in town for a week and a half. Jim, this year we had 2 kids come in that are already committed. They just had birthdays and other things they had to attend to during the first 2 weeks. And we had a junior day. We had a junior day with 20 to 25 of our highest recruits of 2018, and we jump started that class. So that's when you're able to start getting things rock and rolling and starting to build for success. So we're excited about what we're able to get accomplished in 17, and we look to do even better in 18.
Sounds like a plan, and excellent news to hear that you guys may be a little ahead of the game for next year. That's always a good thing to do. Coach, enjoy the chat as always. Best of luck with the recruiting class and that spring ball coming up, and I'm sure we'll catch up down the line and get a little feel for how these recruits and how the 2017 Bowling Green Falcons are shaping up. But in the interim, thanks so much for the time and the insight today. Always enjoy talking with you.
Jim, sure do appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That is head coach Mike Jinks of the Bowling Green Falcons joining us here on the Extravaganza, part of our National Signing Day special today. We're going over everybody, as you know, in terms of Falcons, Rockets, Buckeyes, Wolverines, and more. And the one last notation, of course, those rankings I keep mentioning, the coaching staffs, as I found out by talking to Coach Jinks just now and talking to Coach Candle, for example, of the Toledo Rockets, they don't put too much stock in it. But we, of course, look at them as fans and things. And for what it's worth, both Toledo and Bowling Green thought very highly by the various recruiting sites and little agencies out there. And to recap real quick, the Falcons, Rivals.com has them number one in the Mid-American Conference. 247sports.com has BG second. Scout.com has the Falcons third. So essentially, no matter how you slice it, the various recruiting guys out there love the class for the Bowling Green Falcons. All right, quick timeout as we've reached the top of the hour here on the Extravaganza. We're going to continue, of course, the signing day special. Talk with Andrew Lynn of 11warriors.com coming up in just a bit on the Ohio State Buckeyes recruiting class. And then a little bit later, it'll be Anthony Brew, mazenbrew.com of SB Nation on the Michigan recruiting class. So your Buckeyes and Wolverines, that's all next after this quick timeout for top of the hour here on the Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket.
Blood of your organization and your program. It's got to be at the forefront of everything you do, and we signed a few guys from right here in our own city, more guys, from the own area code of around here, and then as you push out farther of a 4-hour radius of campus, the bulk of our class is from that, the Rocket Nation of the 4-hour time it would take you to get in the car and get to where you need to go. And when you have that, you certainly have some great areas you're able to recruit in. You're talking about cities of Detroit, Chicago, Pittsburgh, you know, down to Cincinnati and into some, you know, Cleveland and, you know, some very good places to go, you know, cultivate relationships and find some talent. Once we, you know, have scoured that and we've looked and, you know, made sure we've, you know, didn't miss anybody in those areas, we certainly will get on an airplane and go. You know, we signed some guys out of Alabama, a couple very good players from there, you know, and a couple guys from Florida, which we have done in the past.
Good start to the 2017 season. You got to sometimes step back and take a look at the trends. You look at some of the success that we will have at BG over the last three to four years or what have you. I think there were 2-3-2 during that time. And again, BG went on that run. If you look at the classes that we've put in the past 3 years, there's 8-8 and 10, I believe, or what have you. It's not end all be all. I say it's a pretty good sign when you can train and start to stack some of these top tier classes together. Sometimes you need to replenish your roster. I think we played last year with 74 scholarship kids. Those are the things that you don't want to do because, you know, that's how you end up having a 4-8 year. What we needed to do is not so much look at the 2017 class. We needed to be sure we paid special attention to where our numbers and where we're going to be at in 18 and 19. With that being said, you can see that we went heavy offensive line and defensive line.
What I've been doing is calling and texting parents and the youngsters that are committing to Michigan and trying to be part of the day, you know, trying to be part of, you know, the joy and excitement. There'll still be a few surprises, but it's a great day, exciting day. These youngsters have worked very hard. Parents have sacrificed a lot. I mean, I want to have a big celebration. I think it should be a celebration for athletes, but any youngster that's going to college, I mean, that should be it. There should be a day, you know, they should have a steak. They should have a big glass of milk. You know, it should be high fives and hugs.
Like the uneventful days, there's still one or two out there that we're waiting on. We're pretty much secured our class. It's very unusual to have half your class here already, so we're so excited. And so all morning, instead of checking fax machines, I was out there talking to guys like Baron Browning, Jeff Okuda, all those guys. So they're already here, which is great. You know, I'd love for our fans someday to see our war room where it's simply you're filling slots. Mm-hmm. And so you don't go out there and say, well, we need to get good. You need to get great players at every position. Who would have thought a year ago that we're going to have to replace Malik Hooker and Marshawn Lattimore? You know, no chance. They haven't played yet. But that happens here. You know, it happened the year before with guys like, Jalen Marshall to Darren Lee. Who would have thought that they'd play 1 or 2 years? But that's just, they're very quality players, and they got developed, and they moved on. So it's a flywheel. It's constantly going, and you got to make sure you keep reloading and getting guys in those slots.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
And we roll onward a little bit later than we would like to have been, but really great coverage there in the last half hour of the UT Rockets and the BG Falcons recruiting classes here in Northwest Ohio. We love to highlight the MAC schools, especially those involved in the I-75 rivalry. So good stuff there from Jason Candle and Coach Mike Jinks. And now we shift gears as we go to Columbus now, and in just a short while we will go to Ann Arbor, looking at the signing classes of the Ohio State Buckeyes and Michigan Wolverines. Joining us now from the outstanding Ohio State website, 11warriors.com, spotlighting Ohio State football, is Andrew Lind. He is the recruiting coordinator, if you want to call it that, recruiting reporter or contributor, but he studies recruiting for the Ohio State Buckeyes. And the Buckeyes look like, according to many analyses thus far, have put together at least the second-best recruiting class in the country. Andrew, thanks for joining us this afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you.
Andrew Lind at 11warriors.com, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm not hearing Andrew Lind, so I don't know if he's on the line, but it's not working for me. While we try to hook up with Andrew Lind, how about I tell you about the KeyBank High School Athletes of the Week for this Wednesday. For the girls, we want to say congratulations to Northview Basketball's Kylie and Lindsay Archibek, and I hope I'm pronouncing your names correctly. If I'm not, I apologize. But Kylie scored 12 points, while her sister scored 11. The sisters led the way for the Wildcats on Tuesday as they handed Perrysburg their first NL loss of the year, 51-46. For the boys, St. Francis Basketball's John Burnham scored 19 points to go with 9 rebounds, as well as the game-winning 3 Tuesday night for a 63-60 Knights win against Whitmer. Burnham also led the St. Francis fourth-quarter comeback to set up the winning shot as he scored 10 of his 19 in that final quarter. So congratulations to KeyBank High School Athletes of the Week, Kylie and Lindsay, as well as John from St. Francis. So there you go. Now we're going to try to reestablish that connection with Andrew Lynn from 11warriors.com. Andrew, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
There we go. Now we got you on the line. Thanks for, sorry about the little glitch there, but thanks for hanging on with us. Okay, Andrew, the analysis from many of the national services say Alabama has reeled in its fifth top-ranked recruiting class in the last 6 years, that Nick Saban just continues to do Nick Saban-type things, but that Urban Meyer continues to do Urban-type things, and that the Buckeyes have the second-strongest class. I also read an analysis yesterday based on what was expected to be the signings today that suggested this might be the best individual Buckeyes recruiting class ever. Now, that's pretty heady stuff considering some of the classes that have come through Columbus, Ohio through the decades. How do you evaluate it on both of those fronts?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, to look at how Alabama has put together their recruiting classes, you know, some outlets have actually had them winning their seventh consecutive recruiting championship, and it goes back to when Urban was at Florida in 2010 was the last time the Crimson Tide did not finish top of the ranking.
Wow. Yeah, it just depends on who you listen to and which ones you believe in, but that, you know, that's still an amazing thing, whether it's 5 out of 6, 6 out of 7, or 7 straight.
Oh, absolutely.
It is really an amazing thing what Saban is able to build down there. You know, they don't have to recruit, essentially. They just have to field the requests from people to come there.
Absolutely, and it helps that their class was a bit bigger than Ohio State's this year. They weren't facing necessarily the same scholarship crunch as what Ohio State was. But even so, Ohio State just brought in 21 recruits, and they're actually waiting for another announcement here in the next 20 minutes from five-star recruit Marvin Wilson, defensive tackle. And, you know, even if they don't land him, per recruit, Ohio State has the best class in the country. Some recruiting services just kind of rank, you know, they give a little bit of extra points to teams with quantity as opposed to quality.
Right.
So even so, Ohio State,
not just the quality of each recruit.
Absolutely. And, you know, with that said, Ohio State is essentially bringing in the top player or the top, you know, three players or the top, you know, if they're in the top three, I'm sorry, of their position at, I want to say, 5 or 6 different positions. And to be able to do that, especially with how much turnover they've had going into the NFL draft and such, to be able to replace them not only with good players but great players is only going to help Ohio State compete for national championships year in and year out.
What is the secret for Urban Meyer? Not that there is one thing, but, I mean, just as you analyze and you look at what different things that he does to pull in top, you know, 4-star and 5-star recruits, or even some really highly competed 4-3-star recruits, you know, even from just Big Ten country, let alone going down into SEC land and so on and so forth. What is it that makes and draws these recruits to Urban Meyer? Is it Urban Meyer? Is it something he does? Is it something he says? Is it just the fact that they've been in two of the national playoffs of the 3 years since they started the national college playoffs, and that the school and the program recruits itself? What is it that you think draws these kids?
Yeah, that's certainly a big equation. I know Ohio State speaks for itself. You know, they don't really have down years. They just kind of rebuild and reload. And, you know, when it comes to Meyer, he basically just has to flash his 3 national championship rings and say, look what I can do. I can get you a national championship. He can point to the players that he's put into the NFL. And he even talked about it a little bit today. Just Ohio State's national championship at the end of the 2014 season, and then the NFL draft last April. You know, he can just point to those and say, this is what I can do for you. A number of other schools can't do that. I mean, there's only a handful. Alabama is pretty much the only other one that could do that. And then Ohio State also has things like Real Life Wednesdays where they help prepare kids for life outside of football. And, you know, not every program does that either. You know, so if you can appeal to a kid on the basis of you're going to be successful while you're here. You're going to have a plan for your future, and that's after football. And even while you're playing football, you can still go on to the NFL. And Ohio State just offers all of that.
We are talking with Andrew Lind, who covers the Buckeyes and especially Buckeye recruiting for 11warriors.com on the extravaganza. Jim Kirstlin is here as well. Jim, go ahead.
And the thing when you're talking about a program like Ohio State's is obviously the national appeal and everything, but I'm scanning over some of their recruits from today and everything, and the thing that jumps out at me, more Texas guys than Florida guys. There's five guys from Texas, and that includes guys like defensive back Jeffrey Olcuda. For example, he's one of the five-star recruits the Buckeye have, and then the four of them are from Florida. Any reasoning you see behind that dynamic? We all know those are two of the most powerhouse high school football states in the country, but anything to take away from the fact that more Texas guys than Florida guys?
Oh, it absolutely has to do with, Texas's down years recently. Ohio State's been able to go in and say, well, Texas hasn't been up to its standards, and we can come in and provide everything that Texas can. You know, it also helps that the Big Ten or Big 12 perception is down a little bit. I mean, just in the last 10 years, they haven't had anybody competing for a national championship. Oklahoma even last year, 2 years ago now, they made it to the semifinal, but they weren't really a competitor for the national championship. And when you're looking at your conference, you're looking at a down program. You know, you don't necessarily want to go and play for that, be part of something rebuilding, when you can just go to another school that offers that same thing.
Andrew, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of a rundown of the real jewels of this class. If it is indeed, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, and that's easy to say on the day of signing. We have to see how these guys perform once they get on the field. But if it is really one of the greatest classes they've ever had, there are still jewels. There are still, the top guys. And I don't know if you go by the same five-star rankings that so many of the services do, but give us the names that you are most impressed with Urban Meyer's ability to put on pen to paper.
For sure, and you have to wait 3-4 years before you can actually look back and say this class was the greatest of all time.
Just like draft classes in the NFL, I totally agree. We get into this rating thing before we see how they perform. We don't know yet, but it is what we do. So looking at it going forward and projecting what we think they're going to be like, go ahead.
Well, I would definitely say that Chase Young, defensive end from Maryland, is probably the best player in Ohio State's class, and I would argue maybe even the best player in the entire country. When put up against players from all over the country in the Army Bowl a couple weeks back, he just shined. He was in the backfield the entire time, and he already looks like he's ready to play in the NFL. He just has that body type. He might not step onto the field right away just because Ohio State has significant depth along the defensive line. Mm-hmm. But once he gets in there, it's going to be something special. And more of an immediate impact will definitely be in the defensive backfield. Jeffrey Okuda, Sean Wade, they're clearly five-star prospects, lockdown corners. And, they just need time to get in a program and find their way. And once they do, it's going to be difficult to throw against Ohio State. I honestly think that both of them can be All-Americans. And we've seen what, like Malik Hooker and Marshawn Lattimore and Gerrion Conley, it only takes 1 year to get into the program and make a significant difference.
What's interesting to me is I'm looking, and by the way, and I'm just looking at the ESPN 300. Obviously, there are so many different services that rate these guys, and you suggested Chase Young might not only be the best player in this particular class, but maybe in the country, nationally recruited. He is a four-star guy according to the ESPN 300. And an 87 overall grade. Wade and Okuda, both five stars and both 91s as far as grade. They're the highest in the class. It doesn't really mean a whole lot because different services have different qualifiers and quantifiers that they look for when they rate these guys. But as I was looking up and down at this, as you answered that question, Andrew, I counted only five guys from Ohio. Just dovetailing off what Kushlin mentioned a moment ago and talked about more Texas guys than Florida guys, forget about that. To me, I'm just looking at more non-Ohio guys than Ohio guys for the Ohio State University in a very, very deeply talented high school football pool of athletes. That seems very rare for Urban Meyer classes at Ohio State and even going back to Jim Tressel classes at Ohio State. Only five of their – how many total recruits do they have, Andrew?
21.
5 out of 21 are from Ohio. I see Florida, Texas, Texas, Maryland, Florida, California, Texas, Florida, Texas. Before I get to my first Ohio guy, Nevada, Nevada, then three more Ohios, then Florida, Ohio, Indiana, Texas, New York. So I'm just running down here and going, what do you think that means? Is this a weak year for Ohio recruits, or did they just lose some of them to other schools?
If you actually look at the rankings, you'll see that the prospects that they really wanted in Ohio, they got.
Okay.
And, you know, beyond that, you know, they're at that point where they just want to bring in the best players from wherever they can get them. And granted, Urban did say today that he'd rather have at least 50% of the class be from Ohio, but sometimes it's just not going to work out that way. And, you know, the players that they're bringing in are better than the players that are similar to them in Ohio. You know, Thayer Mumford is one of the best offensive tackles in Ohio. But he didn't get an offer and commit until, you know, today. But meanwhile, they got a commitment from, granted, Josh Myers is from Ohio as well, but, you know, they got Jake Moretti from Colorado, who eventually flipped to Colorado, and Wyatt Davis. And, I mean, they're just better players. And if you can get them, you know, you're not going to turn them down.
Yeah, no, and I'm not suggesting they should choose an Ohio guy who's less of a prospect than a non-Ohio guy. I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm just used to seeing the very best in Ohio and a lot more of them going to Ohio State than not. So while you're focusing all your attention, Andrew Lind of 11Warriors.com, on the Ohio recruits, Ohio State recruits, do you get a chance to look at the rest of the Big Ten? I mean, obviously we talked about Alabama a minute ago and the other top-ranked classes in the country, but just in the Big Ten, I think Michigan was listed as the fourth best recruiting class, at least again according to the ESPN rankings earlier this afternoon. Do you get a chance to look at them and look at Michigan State and look at Penn State and other real successful programs and see how Ohio State did comparatively?
You know, not as much as I'd like to, but at the same time, you know, I do know Michigan has definitely brought in a class that is comparable to Ohio State. I mean, they're getting five-star wide receiver and Donovan Peoples-Jones. Just got a five-star defensive tackle. Like, they're recruiting to be on the same level as Ohio State. Michigan State, you know, is doing well. Indiana just got one of the better running backs from Ohio. You know, they're all recruiting very well.
Okay, we're talking to Andrew Lind this afternoon. He is with 11Warriors.com, the Ohio State Buckeye fan site, and also he's a recruiting specialist covering who the Ohio State Buckeyes recruit. One other thing, and Jim Cushion's got another question, but just real quick on this one. I noticed as I look at all of the positions, there was not a quarterback among the class. No, take that back. Tate Martell there. Tate Martell is there. He's a quarterback and defensive tackle, ironically enough. Kind of a strange combination there. But, you know, there's a lot of great quarterbacks in the program already in the last couple of years. There are freshmen that have been that are now sophomores or redshirt juniors and so on and so forth. So this is just a case where it wasn't a position of heavy need in this particular class, right?
Oh, not at all. You know, you have JT Barrett coming back. You have Dwayne Haskins, Joe Burrow. You know, there's a lot of depth there as well.
Jim Cushion, go ahead.
And, you know, we're backtracking just one second. You know, we're thinking of some of the other Big Ten teams. And this is kind of for everybody. The Big Ten team that stuns me the most that I'm looking at right now, and this is on Rivals site, and, of course, the sites differ, Maryland is somehow the 16th best recruiting class in the nation. Four spots better than the current sitting national champion in Clemson. No five-star, this is according to Rivals, no five-star guys. They have 8 four-star and 20 three-star. I'm wondering out loud to everybody here, are we actually going to see competent football out of Maryland, of all people?
Yeah, you can definitely see that. I mean, they got two very talented four-star running backs within the last week. And, you know, if they continue to bring in talent, there's not a reason that they can't compete in the Big Ten. I mean, granted, they're in the same division as Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, so it'll be difficult. But they're definitely not just, you know, going to be one of those teams that looks just helpless.
Well, yeah, and I'll start worrying about Maryland when they start doing something with their recruiting and actually start winning 8, 9, 10 games a season. Then I'll start worrying about them. But for now, we're going to focus on the Bucks and the other teams at the top of the Big Ten. And indeed, what we all kind of expected when Jim Harbaugh was hired, the recruiting battles are going to be legendary between Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh, as are the on-field battles. And it was a classic this past year. Certainly both schools helping themselves here in the on signing day 2017. Andrew Lynn with 11Warriors.com. Andrew, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good one. All right, it's 4:31, so we're going to get a quick timeout here. By the way, congratulations to Sheldon Collins of Toledo. Sheldon Collins is the winner of the final pair of tickets that we have been giving away for the last week or so. You're going to go see Robert Easter defend that light heavyweight title in the IBF against Luis Cruz on February 10th at Huntington Center. So congratulations to Sheldon. All right, let's get that timeout now and get a final Sports Center in before we talk Michigan. I just asked Andrew Lynn briefly about his thoughts on the Michigan class. He said he's more focused on the Ohio State, not a whole lot of concern about what Michigan has. But you know who does know what Michigan has? Anthony Broom does. He's going to join us next from maizeandbrew.com. That's an SB Nation Michigan fan site as we continue our National Signing Day special coverage driven by Sauter's Food Centers in Sylvania and Waterville right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. At 4:41, the Bob France extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket, continuing for about another 19 minutes, and we'll have drive time coming your way with Mr. Miller right here on The Ticket. Our National Signing Day special does continue. Great stuff from 11Warriors.com talking about the Ohio State Buckeye class. Now it's time to focus north of the state line on Ann Arbor, Michigan. Jim Harbaugh's jumping into pools. Last year he was screaming slogans during a rap video. What won't he do to get a recruit? And apparently what he does works. He's got the fourth best class in the country, according to at least one service. We'll see what the rest of them look like when it is all said and done. But joining us to discuss now is Anthony Broom, who covers the Wolverines for maizeandbrew.com. Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Good to talk to you, as always. Whenever we have you on to talk Michigan football, it's always a lot of fun. So thanks for being with us. All right, like I said, I'm seeing Michigan ranked around fourth in the overall classes based on signings that happened today. Are you in agreement with that assessment? Do you think it's too high? Do you think it's too low? Do you think it's right on the money?
Yeah, I'm not good with the numbers and the ratings and all that stuff. I just know that it is what it is, and everyone's saying that Michigan has the fourth or some places the fifth best recruiting class in the nation right now. It's as far as historically their classes go, the one that they have right now is arguably, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I remember seeing that this the way that they finished this out today is the best class that they've ever recruited in terms of stars, and we all know that that's not the be all end all, but at least on paper it looks very, very impressive. The teams in front of them are the Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia is ahead of them. And that's not to take away from, that's not saying that Michigan hasn't recruited as well as they have. Those three schools just had historic classes of their own and put together some really good classes at the top there. So, for what my money's worth, Michigan just went out and recruited as good a class as just about, any of the teams at the top of the board. A lot of guys, to me it feels like last year's class was a little bit deeper from top to bottom. This one is a little bit more top-heavy, but they have a lot of guys that they obviously like, and I think a lot of players here that I think will have a chance to play really early.
Anthony Rubin is our guest from maizeandbrew.com talking about the Michigan class. What I'm interested in more at this particular moment, and we'll talk more about the comparison to the other schools in a second, because obviously it's what we do, and you're right. We have to wait and see how it plays out. This is all just on paper. This is all potential, and this is all hype. Highlight videos and these sorts of things and star rankings. But I'm interested in this Michigan class, not against Ohio State, but against Michigan classes in the past. That was the problem when we looked at, really everything that happened in the woebegone Rich Rod years and the Brady Hoke years. And, they're getting classes in the early teens or sometimes the late teens or maybe around 10 or 11 or 12 or in those kind of neighborhoods. It's just I'm going strictly off the cuff memory here. And now it's where people expected it to be when Jim Harbaugh took over. This is Michigan. Michigan should not be down in the mid-teens in terms of recruiting classes. Michigan belongs in the top three. They belong in the top five. And now this is kind of the way normalcy is supposed to be. But it seems like it's happening a lot faster, much like Michigan's improvement on the field under Jim Harbaugh in 2 years, happened way faster than anybody expected. Do you agree that, that this is really breakneck speed as far as returning Michigan to its glory, positioning among the college football elite, especially when you look at the kind of recruits he's able to bring in now compared to some of the recruiting classes of the past few years?
Well, I'll tell you what. This is why when people say, oh, Jim Harbaugh, you know, look at him always looking for attention. He'll do anything to get a recruit. Duh. You're seeing that right now. You're seeing the results of that. You're seeing, Aubrey Solomon, had the go-kart thing from earlier this month. And you've had, him sleeping over at houses and climbing or jumping into pools at the Signing of the Stars event. What he's doing is working. And when you see him stay in the news, it's working. It may be annoying to some and especially down there in, SEC country, you know, they just pulled a kid in Aubrey Solomon, you know, a five-star guy right out of the hands of Georgia and Alabama. And that's not because, you know, the hot take with those kind of commitments are, oh, well, so-and-so didn't want him. You hear that stuff all the time. Alabama wanted this guy. Georgia wanted this guy. Michigan, what they're doing is working. To a certain extent, they're still selling the vision of what it can be, what this program can be. And like you said, it has happened a lot faster, but I think they've done a phenomenal job of getting these kids to see the big picture that they see, where a lot of schools may have to sell results a little bit more. Michigan can sell the promise because of the coaching staff that they have in place. So everything that they're doing is working right now. And, For the Stars Don't Matter crowd, yeah, to a certain extent, that's true. You're going to, you look at some of these four and five star guys, some of them aren't going to pan out. That's just the way it is. Some of the three star guys are going to outperform on their expectations. That's how it goes.
Just like sometimes the more of these, fourth round draft pick in the NFL is going to outplay a top five guy.
Yeah, that's football. That's just how it goes. Every situation is different. How you respond to every situation is a little bit different. The coaching you get is different wherever you go. So it's a situation where, yeah, at the end of the day, it's an impressive class. It looks good. The stars ultimately don't matter, and that's true. But at the same time, the more of these four and five star blue chip guys you get, the better chances are that you hit big on one of them. And that's, if you look at the teams that have won the national title, the Alabama, Florida State, Clemson. These are teams that are recruiting at that top 10 level, and they're stacking classes like that. Every once in a while, you'll get the Michigan States of the world in the college football playoff. You'll get the Washingtons of the world in there. But the teams that have staying power are the ones that recruit at this high a level. And now we're looking at two classes in a row where Michigan has done that and brought in guys that when you look up and down the board, will play right away as soon as they step foot on campus.
Yeah, Anthony, I want to go back real quick before we do anything else and talk about Solomon. You mentioned Aubrey Solomon. Do you know the details of what they ended up having to do to get him back? The story is that he originally committed to Michigan several months ago, but then they sent him a thank you note for attending a Michigan recruiting event that he never went to, and that kind of put him off. Like, they don't even know who I am. They don't even know, what I've been to and what I haven't, how much attention are they really paying to me, and he decommitted. And somehow, some way, Jim Harbaugh and his staff were able to get him back. Do you know what it was that they did to turn him back around, or are you familiar much with that story?
Well, I don't have all the background on the situation, but knowing what I know about this recruitment in general, this was a guy when he dropped, whenever it was, sometime earlier in the summer, there were a lot of people kind of going, well, that's a guy like that at SEC country. I don't know if he's going to end up sticking or not. That obviously the barbecue event thing where a thank you card was allegedly sent out and the name was spelled wrong and he wasn't actually even there, gave him an opportunity to kind of back out and explore other opportunities. But I definitely think there was a misunderstanding there, and knowing what we know about Jim Harbaugh, anything that is he doesn't want there to be any perceived slights against him, because if that was true and that did truly happen, he will go out of his way to make it right. And they didn't give up on him. They stayed on him the entire way. And, as of a month or so ago, the chatter really started to pick up again. And that's when, they just stayed on him. Ultimately, what was it that swayed him? I'm not sure. But it was just a constant contact. You talk about the quote unquote enthusiasm unknown to mankind. They stayed on him, and they mended that bridge, and they went out of their way to make things right.
Yeah,
and
I think in a lot of ways. That was a mess. A drink got spilled, if you will, that somebody had to clean up, and they had to do it in a hurry. And obviously, all those efforts paid off today, as he did indeed commit. Solomon, obviously, as you point out, from SEC country. Jim Kirschlin is with us as well as we talk. You have Michigan recruiting, this part of our special signing day coverage with Anthony Broom of MazeandBrew.com. Jimmy, go ahead.
And I'm glad you guys brought up the Aubrey Solomon, because I wanted to go to one of the other high-profile five-star guys. I'm reading from Rivals.com. That just happens to be where I usually end up going first. I want to talk about Donovan Peoples-Jones. I mean, first of all, Cass Tech, so from Detroit, keeping it very, very local in Ann Arbor. But this guy is, depending on the rankings, and most of them have him as either the number one or number two wide receiver prospect in the entire country. So this has a potential to be a name you're going to hear a lot in the coming years from a playmaking position on Saturday. What can you tell us about it?
Well, I'll say this about him. Every recruiting outlet is a little bit different in the way they evaluate, but just based on what I've seen, I mean, I think he is the best all-around wide receiver that this class has to offer. And when you look at some of those guys that have come out in the past, you look at the A.J. Greens, the Julio Joneses of the world, I think he has a chance to be every bit as special as those guys were. And I think he's going to play early. And the opportunity to play early is there. Not only, I mean, he's obviously an early enrollee. He'll be taking part in spring football. He'll play in the spring game. He'll get to go to Rome with the team. And then he'll kind of have that one leg up on everyone else when fall camp comes around. But you look at, this is a team where, they're losing Amara Darbo and J.U. Chesson. Not really sure what's going on. We'll see what happens with this, with Grant Perry, and his little legal, snafu. I don't know much about that either, but, the opportunity to play early is there. And even, if you had some more established guys, cause they still have, we saw Eddie McDoom get some run this year. Kakoa Crawford got some run. This guy's going to play, and he's going to play early, and I think he's ready to play early. And it's a guy where, they said today he's going to do pre-med. So he's a smart kid. He puts smarts with physical talent like that. And that's a guy who has a chance to pick up the playbook early and get on the field early and make a big splash.
You mentioned, Grant Perry, of course, who was, arraigned on sexual assault charges back in December, and it's a terrible story, and I say that not to make light of it, but just to point out, the good news for Michigan today is none of their recruits ended up being unable to fax in their letters of intent because they were in jail. Unfortunately, you can't say that about Coach D'Antoni in Michigan State in East Lansing, because one of their recruits was unable to send his letter in today because he spent the morning in jail. He spent overnight, and he's been in jail, I guess, since Monday night, being charged down in Florida with burglary and theft of a firearm. That's not a good way to start your signing day when you find out that one of your guys that you expect to be getting a letter from instead is making a phone call. Rather than a fax, he's making a phone call to try to get somebody to let him out of jail. That's a rough one. You ever hear one quite like that, Anthony?
I've never heard a signing day one like that. I mean, we've heard the signing day stories where, well, the kid's committed, but he hasn't sent his fax in yet because, mom or dad or somebody refuses because they want them to go to X school or whatever.
Right.
I can't say I've ever heard one like that. That is, you talk about a season that's
in. Silo and Cannell on this station before we came on. And they said, can you imagine, you know how when you go to jail, well, not that you've been there, but if you go to jail, they give you one phone call. You wonder if this kid heard them say, you get one phone call, and he said, can I make it a fax instead? I've got to get something done here before it's too late. I don't know if they're going to rescind the offer or not. I would imagine that Mark D'Antonio is not real thrilled with that situation, but just a strange story that I had to share. I want to ask about one other guy before we go in this class for the Wolverines, and that is, of course, the quarterback. Dylan McCaffrey has long been a verbal commit to the Wolverines. He stayed with it. Obviously, there was a big quarterback battle this past year for the starting job with John O'Korn coming in as a transfer and not being able to beat out Wilton Spate. Spate had a solid year. They almost made the playoffs. McCaffrey is the QB of the future. What's your read on him?
Yeah, I think that he's got a little bit of an uphill battle for this season. I do think that his upside is very high, and that's a guy that you will see down the road. But, he's not going to be on campus until June. He's not an early enrollee. And I think that, just on that alone, you look at the guys that are already here. You've got Wilton Spate. You've got Brandon Peters. You've got John O'Korn and some other guys in the mix there. It'll take a pretty big fall camp for him to really work his way up the depth chart there. So, not sure about him. I definitely think that he needs a couple years. There's some arm mechanics that he's got to figure out. You got to trust Jim Harbaugh when it comes to quarterbacks, and this is a guy that they like a lot. So we'll see big things from him in the future.
No question about it. Good stuff. Hey, Anthony, thanks for the time. We always appreciate your analysis of Michigan football there at MasonBrew.com.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Thanks so much to you. The music is a playing, and that means we are wrapping up our signing day coverage for 2017. Really, really good stuff from Coach Candle talking to Cushlin in the first hour of the program. Also, Coach Jinx of Bowling Green. Good analysis from some of our friends at SB Nation on the websites for Ohio State and Michigan on their recruiting classes as well. That's all the time we have. By the way, one thing we didn't do today is talk about where a lot of Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan kids went. Tomorrow, the voice of high school sports in Northwest Ohio, Bill Clark, will join us to kind of just dovetail on today's signing day program to talk about where some of Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan's very best ended up signing. So that'll be kind of part of tomorrow's coverage. Thanks so much for being a part of the show. We'll talk to you then. Drive time is next. Stay where you are, right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.